Hi, and welcome to this week's Expert HR podcast with me, Ellie Gelder. Now, as we all know, employees have the statutory right to be accompanied by a companion at any formal disciplinary or grievance hearing. The companion may be a colleague or a trade union official, and the worker's request to be accompanied must be reasonable. But as we'll discuss today, the right to be accompanied can throw up a range of tricky issues, from the employee's choice of companion to the reasonableness of the request itself. I'm joined today by Principal Employment Law Editor Stephen Simpson, who's going to talk us through what to do in seven different scenarios. So the first scenario, Stephen, we're going to look at is one where a line manager doesn't think that the right to be accompanied actually applies. So say the manager has an employee who is underperforming during probation, and the manager intends to tell that employee at the meeting that he will be dismissed if his performance doesn't improve within the next month. At the start of the meeting, the employee insists that he should have union representation at the meeting, so HR is called in. Who is right then, the manager or the employee?
So in that scenario, the employee is right, actually. He can have a companion present, i.e. a trade union official or a fellow worker, as the right to be accompanied is a day one employment right.
So why do some line managers assume that no procedure needs to be followed if the employee is on probation?
This is one of those misconceptions you see in a lot of cases, with line managers sometimes assuming that procedure does not have to be followed if ending a probationer's employment. It comes from the fact that someone can't claim unfair dismissal unless they have 2 years' service. But of course, there are plenty of other claims that a probationer can bring. For example, they can bring discrimination claims, breach of contract claims, and claims that the right to be accompanied has been breached, to name just three.
So the employee does have the right to be accompanied by a union official or colleague at any disciplinary hearing. So just remind us what constitutes a formal disciplinary hearing.
So it's defined as a disciplinary meeting that could result in, firstly, a formal warning being issued, and secondly, the taking of any other disciplinary action, and thirdly, the confirmation of a warning or some other disciplinary sanction, which basically means appeal hearings.
So the right to be accompanied would clearly apply in this scenario then?
Yes, since a possible outcome is dismissal, the right to be accompanied clearly applies.
So that leads us nicely onto our second scenario involving a disciplinary investigation as opposed to a hearing. So let's say then that there's a doctor accused of negligence, as the case involves complicated scientific data. The doctor asks to be accompanied at the investigatory meetings by a colleague who isn't involved otherwise in the case. Should HR allow that, even though this isn't actually a disciplinary hearing?
So there are two main points for HR to think about. Firstly, it's very important to double check that the doctor doesn't have a contractual right to be accompanied at investigation meetings, which some employers will have, especially in sectors where the investigation is likely to be very technical. And then secondly, assuming there isn't anything contractual, then strictly speaking, there's no legal obligation on the employer to allow the doctor to be accompanied at a disciplinary investigation.
But there are circumstances in which a companion at a disciplinary investigation might be necessary in practice. For example, it could be a reasonable adjustment for a disabled worker.
Yes, so employers should take a common sense approach and allow this adjustment for a disability, for example, if the employee has learning difficulties and has trouble understanding the case against them. Another example might be if a foreign worker has a poor grasp of English and needs support from someone who can act as, say, an interpreter.
So what about in our scenario of the doctor then? Assuming there isn't anything contractual, do you think it would be wise for the employer to allow him to be accompanied at the investigation meetings?
So it's a difficult one, but my instinct would be yes. There has been at least one case, Stevens and University of Birmingham in the High Court, where it was found that the employer was expected to go beyond the letter of the law or contractual terms to avoid breaching the implied duty of trust and confidence. In that case, the investigation was looking into allegations that could have ended a professor's career, so the employer was expected to go the extra mile.
So essentially, you'd recommend a flexible approach.
Yes, and from a practical point of view, it may actually be an advantage for all concerned, including the investigators, particularly where the job was of a highly technical nature.
So just sticking with the same scenario then with the doctor, let's assume that there is a disciplinary hearing after the investigation. The doctor's chosen companion is no longer working for the same employer by the time of the hearing, and the doctor wishes to have that same companion. So should the employer allow the former colleague to attend, even though that person doesn't really meet the statutory definition anymore?
So similar considerations apply to the previous scenario. Strictly speaking, there's no legal obligation on the employer to allow the doctor to be accompanied at a disciplinary hearing by someone who doesn't meet the statutory definition, i.e. isn't a trade union official or a fellow worker.
But again, you'd recommend a flexible approach.
Yes, employers need to think about the implied duty of trust and confidence if the employee's career in the chosen field will be at risk. And again, from a practical point of view, it may be a good thing for the employer to have someone who is familiar with the allegations, particularly if the job is of a very technical nature.
Let's move on to another scenario that may be familiar to HR professionals in small and medium-sized organisations. So you've got an employee who has an ill health capability review hearing, and they request that a family member be present. So what's the position there?
Yes, I do think this is something that will come up, particularly in smaller non-unionised companies. A family member, or say a close friend, would clearly not meet the statutory definition of a companion, so there is no obligation for the employer to agree to this.
But there may be circumstances in which it is a good idea to agree to this request.
Yes, again, the most obvious example is where it may be required as a reasonable adjustment if the employee is disabled. Even when the employee is not disabled, the employer could allow the request if it makes the hearing easier for the employee and more effective for all parties. An in-health capability review hearing is a good example of this. Imagine if someone has been off sick for 6 months and has to attend a meeting with their manager, plus a senior HR professional, plus a junior HR professional taking notes. The employee could have become isolated from colleagues while off sick and not have a suitable colleague who can attend. The employee could feel outnumbered at the meeting if alone, and allowing some flexibility may not be a bad thing.
Okay, so it's good to be flexible, but not always a good idea.
No, it's really a judgment call, and employers are quite entitled to say no if there are any indications that an outside party's behaviour will be disruptive.
Now, there's been a lot of case law surrounding our next scenario. So a teacher is invited to a disciplinary hearing for serious misconduct that could lead to him not being able to work in the education sector anymore if the allegations are proven. And he requests to be accompanied by his lawyer at the disciplinary hearing. So what is the case law on legal representation?
So there was an explosion of case law in this area around 2009-2010. The cases favour the employer, with the Supreme Court in R on the application of G, and governors of X school finding that a teacher who's at risk of being placed on a list of people barred from working with children after being accused of kissing a pupil was not entitled to be accompanied by his lawyer at his disciplinary hearing.
So what was the Supreme Court's reasoning?
So the Supreme Court stated that the school's disciplinary proceedings did not engage the right to a fair trial under Article 6 of the European Convention on Human Rights.
And why was Article 6 not engaged?
So Article 6 does not provide an automatic right to legal representation, even when the ultimate outcome may be that the worker is essentially barred from working in a chosen field. In this case, whether or not the teacher was barred was a matter for the safeguarding authority later on. Although influential in that decision, a negative outcome for the teacher in the procedure did not automatically mean that the safeguarding authority would bar him.
So employers are on safe ground then if they refuse legal representation?
In the vast majority of cases, yes. One thing to bear in mind, although this will be rare, is to check that the employee doesn't have a contractual right to legal representation at a disciplinary hearing.
And our penultimate scenario is a common one, particularly if the employee wants to delay a hearing, and I'm sure that's familiar for lots of people listening. So let's say an employee is invited to a disciplinary hearing. They're informed in the invitation letter of their right to be accompanied. However, minutes before the hearing, they request that the meeting be postponed as they can't find a companion. Should HR postpone the hearing?
As you say, this is a dilemma that HR does sometimes face. Do you go ahead with the hearing despite the absence of a companion, or do you allow the employee to delay it? Luckily for HR professionals faced with this dilemma, we do have a 2013 tribunal case that is a great example of this scenario, shown in Oxford and Sherwell Valley College.
And what happened in that case?
So the claimant argued that his right to be accompanied had been breached when the employer refused his request 11 minutes before it was scheduled for his disciplinary hearing to be postponed because he said he couldn't find a companion. The employer had informed him in the invitation of the right to have a union official or fellow worker with him, so he knew well in advance.
And what did the tribunal decide?
So in that case, the tribunal found that the legislation requires that an employee reasonably requests to be accompanied at a disciplinary hearing. And in this case, putting a request in just 11 minutes before the start of the hearing, when he was aware in advance of the right, was found to be unreasonable. His claim therefore failed.
So an employer could reasonably turn down a late postponement request?
Exactly. If the employer considers it to be a delaying tactic, the employee will not be reasonably requesting to be accompanied. And the employer can go ahead with the hearing in the absence of a companion.
But the legislation does allow employees flexibility if they've got a companion in mind who then isn't available at the scheduled time.
That's right. The legislation provides that if the companion is not available at the hearing time proposed by the employer and the employee suggests another time and that is reasonable and falls within 5 working days of the original time, the hearing must be postponed until the new time proposed.
So, leaving probably the most difficult scenario for last, an employee requests to be accompanied by a trade union official who meets the statutory definition, but the employer doesn't want that individual present at the hearing because he's previously been disruptive at hearings. Can employers effectively bar a particular companion?
So, as you say, this is a difficult one for employers who can be placed in a no-win situation. There is no case law on this, and the case law doesn't make for good reading for employers. The leading case, Toll and GB Oz Limited, essentially says that there's no requirement for the employee's choice of companion to be reasonable. As long as the companion meets the statutory definition, the choice is up to the employee.
So where does that leave an employer faced with a completely inappropriate choice of companion, for example, someone who's previously displayed threatening behaviour towards its HR staff?
My advice would be that an employer can still turn down a particular companion in extreme circumstances, even if there is a risk of a tribunal claim.
Why do you say that?
So although technically the employer would be breaching an employee's right to be accompanied, the EAT in Toll also said the tribunals can reduce compensation to a nominal amount in these sorts of cases.
So have we got any recent examples from case law of a tribunal applying those principles from Toll?
Yes, we recently had the Employment Tribunal decision in Genoa and Abellio London Limited, in which the claimant's request to be accompanied by a union official who was accused of threatening behaviour towards staff was turned down. Union rep had been an employee but was dismissed for threatening behaviour, and rep had also been accused of dishonesty and ordered to pay costs in previous Employment Tribunal proceedings against the employer.
So clearly a case there where the employer couldn't possibly allow the employee's choice of companion.
Absolutely, and the good news for employers was that in this case compensation was nominal. Although the employer had to defend an Employment Tribunal claim, the tribunal awarded the claimant a measly £2 for breach of the right to be accompanied.
Some comfort there for employers. Thanks very much, Stephen, for talking us through how to navigate those tricky scenarios. For more practical guidance, have a look at our how-to guide on dealing with the right to be accompanied, which you'll find in the hearings subsection of the discipline section. And that brings us to the end of this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Ellie Gelder. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.